Dear brothers and sisters, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. When I was going through the news in this past week, I came across this really fantastically amazing article. Yes, you heard that correctly. An amazing and fantastic article. Not something that made me want to weep, not something that was breaking my heart, not something that I was terrified by or that seemed to cause more division, but something that was fantastic and beautiful in the news. And perhaps it shouldn't have been lifted up. Perhaps this story should be more commonplace, and perhaps it is more commonplace than we realize, but it was just the right time, the right place for it to be brought to our attention. And it mirrored so incredibly what both the gospel today, as well as the reading from Hebrews, has to remind us of, that I would like to take a moment to share it with you. It was about students returning to school down in North Carolina, and how this one student entering into high school, new sets of people around, he didn't know anyone going in, and how he felt very alone. It's his first day of school. He goes into the building. He's shorter in stature than most of his other peers and classmates, and many of the kids started taunting him and teasing him, making fun of him for his height and whatnot. And so he just minded his own business, went to his classes, went to the cafeteria at lunchtime, sat alone by himself, continued to hear the other students, both to his face as well as behind his back, making fun of him and not sitting by him or befriending him. If you just take the story right there, it seems heartbreaking and it seems horrifying. But it goes even further. So the kid then tells his sister, his big sister on the way home, who had graduated from that school the year previously, is telling her about his first day, and she's saying, well, did you advocate for yourself? Did you go up to people? Were you trying to introduce yourself? He said, no, I didn't. I sort of just expect people to make fun of me and that no one's going to like me. But he wasn't upset about it. He said it didn't even bother him anymore. He'd become so used to it. It didn't really even bother him. Well, the sister, older, wiser, outraged, as older siblings usually are, went to her social media and tried to make some contacts with some of the people who were still in that school, who might be upperclassmen, who might have been there already, who could sort of try to just reach out and give her little brother some love and some affirmation in it all. Well, within a few days, some of the upperclassmen, juniors, seniors, football players, soccer players, and a group of guys from this organization that they had created within the school called Boys to Men, which was an organization that was started up to encounter moments like this, where people might feel alone, where people might feel on the outskirts, where people might feel as though they didn't fit in or they didn't have a place, and that this group would help to go and to find these folks and to integrate them into the community life at the school. So it took them some time. They weren't all in the same lunch period, but this group of upperclassmen guys, some of whom were like giants, went and they found this incoming freshman sitting by himself in the lunchroom, there in the cafeteria. They sought him out. It wasn't just that they glanced around the room and they said, oh yeah, that kid over there is sitting by himself, that must be the one. They intentionally went, knowing that there was a kid in the school who was feeling left out, who was feeling alone. They intentionally went from lunch period, going around to find this child and sat down with him. Now, the really amazing part of it is they didn't just do it so that at lunch he would appear not to be by himself. They did it because they genuinely had compassion for this other student. They genuinely wanted to include him into their sense of community. They genuinely wanted to befriend him so that he would know that throughout the school year, whenever he needed them or they needed him, that they could go one to another as friends, as boys and men within that school. And so that kid's life was sort of turned around in that moment with that compassion and that generosity and that love shown by the upperclassmen. I remember when I was in high school, and it didn't work that way. So it's really an incredible story. I don't know what kind of clique or group you were in high school, but I was definitely one of the band nerds. And we stuck to our little corner in the cafeteria or out on the playground or wherever. And then there were those large groups of all the athletic people and all the cool people and all the ones who were so popular and had all the friends. And, you know, the band nerds over in the corner. And never did we connect with each other. Everyone just sort of stayed in their own groups. You might have to work on a project with someone in some class, but we didn't connect. We stayed in our own little same-minded groups. But not for these upperclassmen in this school. And they were interviewed by folks because people thought this was just so fantastic. They wanted to do an interview, and they wanted to do a story about it. But these guys all were so calm and so cool about it. One said, well, of course, my mom taught me that you should always find someone. If someone looks alone, if someone looks like they're being left out, you should just go up to them and include them. So it seemed like second nature. Why would I do anything else? And other ones had the same sort of thing. Yeah, we felt unsure and uneasy when we first entered into school, and it was nice to be surrounded by another group, so of course we're going to continue to pay it forward in that way to make sure that everyone is included. These guys were just so ready. They were so nonchalant. It was like just second nature to them. It isn't always the same way for us as grown-ups. As adults, we tend to gravitate toward those who are like us. We want to be with those who we know we can have similar conversations with those who we know we work in the same sort of field. It's awkward. It gives us some anxiety, perhaps even some fear, to approach another person or another group of people to introduce ourselves in there and try to find some sort of connection. We do exactly the opposite of what Jesus is talking about when he's going to the Pharisees. But that's exactly what those boys did in that school situation. Jesus is there, dining with the Pharisees. Yes, the Pharisees and Jesus. If you want to talk about people who are on opposite ends of the spectrum, there's Jesus and the Pharisees, and they're getting ready to eat together, and he notices where everyone is sitting, that those who feel as though they're exalted are sitting together, and others are sitting here and there, and Jesus says to them, no, this is not how we do it. When you enter a room, when you enter a social situation, humble yourselves. Make sure that you are all down on the same playing field. Recognize that you are each and every one of you created individually, but created to be beautiful and in the image of God. No one better than anyone else with different gifts and different things to be lifted up, absolutely, but no one better than another one. No group of us better than another group of us. When you go into a gathering, just look at one another as though you are all equals and show love and compassion and mercy and kindness to one another. We hear that same message and it goes just a little bit deeper, actually it goes as deep as it can in this lesson that we had from Hebrews this morning. The lesson that we have starts with, let mutual love continue. That's a big word, love. Not let mutual respect continue. Not let mutual compassion continue. We've been hearing a lot about compassion from Jesus in the last few weeks in our worship services. But Hebrews doesn't say let compassion or mercy or kindness continue. It says let mutual love continue. We are really and truly to love one another. It's not just to tolerate one another. It's not just to pretend to be kind to one another. Is to humble ourselves and to give up a little bit of that pride or that fear that we have within ourselves, about the other that prevents us from truly engaging in the beloved community that Jesus has created us to be. As I thought about all of these fears that we hold onto and all of the ways that we don't fully engage in mutual love, the ways that we are afraid of ourselves and we are unsure of ourselves and that we are afraid of others and unsure of others too, I was thinking about my students over this summer and ways to enhance my music room both here and at St. Peter's and also ways to engage them just a little bit more in something fun. A few weeks ago, my sister and I were at the bookstore, and she found and came running to me to show me Lin-Manuel Miranda's book, Good Morning, Good Night. If you have heard of Lin-Manuel Miranda, some of you I know went to see Hamilton when that was here in Baltimore. If you didn't go to see it, I'm sure you heard about it from someone who did get to go and see it. Lin-Manuel Miranda is the composer of that musical, as well as a tremendous musician and composer in a lot of other aspects as well. And my sister knows that I completely fangirl and am in love with Lin-Manuel Miranda. And so she found this book by him, Good Morning, Good Night, which is a collection of little motivational 1 to 2 sentence snippets to start your day. Something as simple as just waking up with a smile, believing in yourself, trusting in yourself, loving yourself, and loving the world. And it's something different for every day. So I started reading through this book and feeling really great about it, and then realizing, oh, I can take this into my classroom. So every day when the students come in to Ms. Arwin's room, we can have musical motivational moments with Lin-Manuel Miranda. Little things, little mantras for them to say and to clap along to and to sing along to that will remind them every single day of how beautiful and how wonderful and how loved and how gifted they are. But not just them as one person, them as every single one of them. That you're gifted, and you're beautiful, and you're talented, and you're smart, and you're incredible, and you're amazing, and you're fabulous, and that when they know that, and when they believe to themselves that each one of them, as well as all their classmates, are that amazing, maybe, just maybe, they'll go into the world, and they'll remember that, and they'll spread that with other people. To do love. To be change in the world. To continue to grow mutually together in that love, to continue to be kind and compassionate one to another, to do everything possible to see the good in and around them in this world. It's so easy for us to be taken down, dragged down into the darkness that we see around us. It's so easy for us to live in fear, for us to be uncertain, to let anxieties take control. But Jesus reminds us again and again to not let those things get in the way. Jesus reminds us, as he reminded those Pharisees, not to be afraid and not to be proud, but to be humble and to be open, to build up community, to build up others, to care for all this world around us. Looking into the news, it's nice to see some of the exciting and the beautiful stories, but we're also bombarded by all of the hardships that are all around us. Especially right now, if we look into there, we continue to see day after day after day more and more growing wildfires in the Amazon. And the fears of some of the wildfires that are starting to grow, some controlled and some accidental, in sub-Saharan Africa, as well as in Antarctica and in other places around the world. We see how huge ice caps and glaciers have not only begun to melt, but have completely melted away to the point where we won't be able to get them back. Where our oceans are so full of plastic that it's estimated it very well could be in 10 to 20 years there will be more plastics than fish in our oceans. And we can't reverse it. We can't bring ourselves back to where we could have or should have been 50 or 60 years ago. And we can't correct some of the mistakes that we made not knowing what would be happening here and now in 2019. But Jesus also continues to call us not just to reach out to one another as human beings in love, but to reach out to all this world in love as well. To try our hardest to live in ways that are more sustainable. To be attentive to everything that we purchase, that we put in our homes, that we put in our bodies, to every decision that we make, to consider not only us right here and right now, but the world around us. The people who live within the Amazon rainforest, who are losing their homes and will never be able to reclaim that land in the way that it once had been. The animals and the ecosystems, the things that we cannot reverse, but the ways that we can build up the world around us, that we ourselves can humble us and the world around us to try to make it a better place for those who are coming after us. In both the gospel today as well as in the lesson from Hebrews, we are not only reminded, but we are encouraged to be people of love, to look to everything in this world that God created, and God said, it is good. And to remember that we were called to be stewards, stewards of ourselves, stewards of one another, stewards of the resources of this earth, and to live into love mutually, continually, growing in it, encouraging and uplifting and building up one another and this world around us. Not only seeing Jesus in the world, but being Christ-like in this world, that others might see him through us and also be stirred to action. In Jesus' name, amen.